I was a simple Delphian woman from a respected family living a quiet life until the day the gods spoke to me in a dream. "You are chosen," they said, "to be the voice of Apollo." My heart raced as I was swept away from my ordinary existence to the sacred sanctuary of Delphi. It was here that I would become the Pythia, the conduit between the divine and the mortal realms. The priests of Apollo performed my formal training in preparation to become the Pythia. It was rigorous, learning all of the procedures and all of the rituals. Every day I was purified in the Castilian spring. The water was cold. It was so cold, but the priests didn't care. They said I was to endure the cold. I was tested daily, thrown onto the tripod. I was told to focus my heart, my thoughts directly on Apollo, to attempt to draw his presence near me. But nothing, no sound would come. There were whispers in the temple. Could she embody the presence of Apollo, the Lord of Light? Was she pure enough? As the Pythia, I was to be a model of moral and philosophical virtue. During the early days of my training, I was guided by a philosopher whose sole responsibility here at Delphi was to teach me the ethical and philosophical values that were important to our kind. First, know thyself. Understand your nature, your limitations, and your potential. Second, nothing in excess. Balance and moderation in all aspects of life. Avoid extremes and practice restraint. Third, certainty brings ruin. Refrain from being overly confident or certain about outcomes or knowledge. Fourth, of course, respect the gods. Always maintain reverence for the divine. And lastly, friendship is a valuable thing. True friends are valuable assets in life, providing support, companionship, and loyalty. During the final test, I was to call upon Apollo, invite him to enter my being to prophesize for each priest. Was I enough? Would Apollo conceive within me a thought? A truth to share amongst these long-bearded men with turned-up noses? After many practices, I failed to retrieve Apollo's light. He would not appear. But today was crucial. Now more than ever, I needed to perform, and I prayed to him before entering his temple. As I took my seat in the tripod, the small audience was hushed into a whisper. I was met with beady blue eyes and furrowed brows. I was expected to inhale the vapors in the fissure below, to collapse into some sort of trance. With closed eyes, I called out to Apollo. I beckoned him near me. Would he deny me once more? Seconds passed, and then minutes. The huffs and puffs of impatient men filled the inner sanctum. I clasped my heart. I cried out to Apollo, and I cried out once more, and then a whisper and a sudden gust of air grazed my face. The voice of a man rang deeply in the canals of my ear. I shuddered and called to each priest to step forward, for Apollo would have his word. On that day, I became the new Pythia. As the first rays of dawn touched the rugged peaks of Mount Parnassus, I prepared for another day of divine revelations. Clad in my sacred robes, I approached the inner sanctum, the heart of the Temple of Apollo. The air was thick with incense and anticipation, and I felt the weight of centuries of prophecy resting upon my shoulders. The chamber was dim, and the only light was coming from the flickering lamps and the distant ethereal glow of Apollo's presence. As I sat upon the tripod, the air grew thick, and my mind began to drift. The words of prophecy started to flow through me, cryptic and profound, shaping the future of those who sought my guidance. With each prophecy, I felt a deeper connection to the divine and a heavier burden of the truth. The weight of Apollo's words could bring a blessing or a curse, and I was the vessel through which these cryptic messages were delivered. The clarity of the divine often came with the murkiness of human interpretation, and I wrestled with the responsibility of guiding others with the divine wisdom bestowed upon me. When I first arrived at Delphi, I was a mere mortal woman. Now, as the oracle, I have become a bridge between worlds, a living testament to the power and mystery of Apollo. Every day I am transformed by the sacred rites and the divine messages that flow through me, and my once simple life has evolved into a complex dance with the divine. There are moments when doubt creeps in, even in the midst of divine revelations. As the oracle, I am expected to embody absolute faith, yet there are days when the weight of prophecy feels overwhelming. When the visions blur and the messages become unclear, I question my role and I wonder if I am truly worthy of Apollo's voice. In the heart of ancient Greece, nestled amongst the slopes of Mount Parnassus, lay a sanctuary that held the keys to divine wisdom and cosmic insight, the Oracle of Delphi. For centuries, the sacred site was the spiritual epicenter where seekers from across the ancient world came to receive the answers from the gods. The Oracle herself was a priestess first of Gaia, and then later Apollo, and she was known as the Pythia. She acted as an intermediary between the god Apollo and all of the citizens. In the innermost part of the temple of Apollo, the priestess sat on a three-legged tripod, inhaled vapors that rose from a chasm in the floor, clasped laurel reeds in one hand and a bowl of spring water in the other, and fell into a trance to receive answers to questions from the god Apollo, the Greek god of prophecy. The prophecies of the Pythian priestess were often described as frantic and frenzied, and at times needed to be translated by the priests. Many Pythias served as oracles at Delphi over the centuries. The Pythia had to be a Delphian woman from a respected family who was willing to serve in this position as a vocation. She was educated in geography, history, politics, and even philosophy. However, during the later periods, the Pythian priestess was sometimes a peasant, or even a poor or old and sometimes uneducated and illiterate woman. The Pythian priestess lived in a house at the sanctuary. Along with other priestesses in ancient Greece, the Pythian priestess was widely respected and enjoyed liberties associated with their position. They were afforded the right to own property. They had a salary and housing, and they even were free from taxation. The oracle was only available for consultation on one day of each month for 9 months of the year. 3 months of the winter season, she did not provide any consultations. 9 days a year, the oracle was available to communicate with Apollo, but only if Apollo had provided consent. Consent was determined by a very specific ritual wherein cold water was sprinkled on a sacrificial goat. And if the goat shuddered, then Apollo agreed to the oracular consultation. On the day of the consultation, the Pythian priestess would bathe in the Castalian spring, drink the holy water, and then proceed to the temple to participate in burning a sacrifice to Apollo, which contained laurel leaves and barley meal. Oracular consultants, or those who sought counsel from all over the ancient world, journeyed to Delphi along the slope of Mount Parnassus just to visit the oracle for advice. Consultants ranged from delegates that were dispensed by kings who requested insight about politics and war, to the founding of colonies, to personal questions regarding marriage and job prospects. Many oracular consultants would travel for days or even weeks to reach Delphi. Once they arrived, they underwent a very intense grilling from the priests, who would determine the genuine cases and instruct them the correct way to frame their questions. Once approved, they would have to undergo a variety of processes, such as carrying a laurel wreath to the temple, offering a monetary donation, as well as offering animals for sacrificial purposes. Once the animal had been sacrificed, its liver was examined to ensure the signs were seen as favorable. And if they were favorable, it was burned outside of the altar of Chios, where the rising smoke was a signal that the oracle was open. If unfavorable, the consultant actually could be sent home. The prophecies of the Pythia held significant influence, deciding the fate of war and peace, and life and death. No important decision was made without her consultation, and so for nearly 1,000 years, the position of perhaps the greatest political and social influence in the ancient world was occupied by a woman. The oracle's influence started to wane with the rise of Christianity, and the last recorded visit was documented in the 4th century, and it reads as follows. "Tell the king, the cunningly built hall has fallen in the dust. Apollo no longer has a hut, a prophetic laurel, or a speaking stream. Even the talkative water has ceased to exist." While the oracle has lost her prominence and her position has dissolved into the sands of time, the role of an oracle, a seer, a healer, a wise woman is re-emerging as women reclaim their divine heritage in this modern world. What was once taboo is re-emerging, and it's even being encouraged as the veil begins to thin between this world and the next.